All right, you guys can be seated. Take a seat. I am excited tonight because we get to share, or I get to share, one of the stories of one of my favorite characters in the whole Bible. How many of you, this is going to be a tricky question because there's more than one. How many of you have ever heard of a man named Joseph? And it's a tricky question, isn't it? So this is a Joseph that comes in the line. If you remember, we've talked about Abraham and Sarah, we've talked about Isaac, we've talked about Jacob, and now we talk about Joseph. So if we remember from the last time that we were together, Jacob was someone who had messed up a lot, had fallen short a lot, and who wrestled with God. I know it's a long time ago, but I think we can remember this. And so one of the things that's important to know is that this is just another part of the long, long story of God and God's people. And so this week we meet a man named Joseph. And Joseph has a lot of highs and a lot of lows in his life. A lot of ups and a lot of downs. Joseph is one of 12 siblings. How many of you have 12 siblings? Can you imagine? One of 12 siblings. So, and not only that, but he's one of the youngest. And so that's kind of tough for Joseph. And so, at one point in his life, Joseph tells his siblings about his dreams where they will all serve him. How do you think his siblings felt about that?
Really not great, right?
Yeah. How would you feel if your brother comes to you and was like, I had a dream last night where you all will serve me? Be like, yeah, okay. Sounds good. Yeah. So at first, they have a bit of a harsh response. We'll admit that. The first thing they want to do is they want to go so far as to kill him. But then they decide, no, we can't do that. So what they do is they just decide to sell him into slavery instead. Not a great response by the brothers. Not a great response by the siblings. So Joseph, in his story, gets taken into Egypt, and he's sold to someone named Potiphar, who works for the Pharaoh in Egypt, works for kind of the king in Egypt, this high-up, really connected person. Here's the thing about Joseph, is that he's really good at his job. He quickly gains the respect of everyone in the castles. He really does some great work. Whatever they ask him to do, he does it, and he does it well. So much so that they put him in charge of the whole house. And one of the things that we keep hearing throughout Joseph's story, no matter what happens to him, is that God is with him. And that's something that's super important for us to remember, is that every time Joseph goes through this, whether it's a high or whether it's a low, there's this line that repeats itself, and it's, but God was with Joseph. So Potiphar's wife thinks that Joseph is really great and tries to get him to do her a favor. But Joseph refuses. It's not really going to do well for the castle. Things aren't really going to go well. It's going to mess some things up. And she gets really offended by this. She can't believe that Joseph would dare to not do what she asks him. And so she gets him thrown in prison. I know. And when he's in prison, one of the things we hear is that God is with him. The highs and the lows, God is with him. So Joseph is freed from prison when we learn that he can see the future in his dreams. How many of you can see the future in your dreams? I don't know. How many would like to? Maybe? Can be kind of right, can have some kind of ups and downs with that. Yeah, so we learn that Joseph can see the future in his dreams, and we see that one of the things that he dreams is that they run out of food in their country. No one has anything to eat. And so one of the things that Joseph does is he winds up getting himself put in charge of the whole country's food supply. And so during the years of plenty, during the years where everyone has enough, Joseph travels throughout the land and he oversees the collecting, the harvesting, and the storage of food. And then the famine begins. Then they start to run low on food. The crops don't come in like they used to, and there starts to be a really big need. But when that happens, because of Joseph's dream, Egypt is prepared. They've been planning enough so that they'll have enough for people to eat, because Joseph could see this famine coming in his dreams. But guess what? All the other countries around him, they don't have a Joseph. They don't have someone who's been preparing them. So everyone from the surrounding countries, they wind up coming to Egypt to buy food from Joseph. So who do you think comes to Egypt after all these years? Who do you think comes to Egypt hungry and in need of food? All the siblings, right? Well. Yeah, all the siblings come. All of Joseph's brothers are forced to come down to Egypt in search of food. And there are some interactions that Joseph has with his brothers, but they don't recognize him, right? It's been a long time since they've seen each other. They have no idea what's happened to Joseph. He has no idea what's happened to his brothers, so he gives them food. And he gives them enough, even though they treated him horribly. He was able to give them food. And one of the things we hear again is that God was with Joseph. And in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, the last chapter of the first book of the Bible, Joseph and his brothers travel to Canaan because they travel to a faraway land because they hear that their dad Jacob has died. And so they travel together. And his brothers begin to worry that with Jacob gone, that Joseph is going to want payback sometime. Joseph is going to try to get them back, try to pay them back for the wrong that they did to him. But Joseph interprets their actions differently. Because God has been with him, he sees that God has been with him the whole time. And that through their actions, even though the brothers didn't want good things to happen for him, because things happened the way they did, he was able to have enough food. He was able to be the person in charge of the food during a famine, and he was able to provide food for everyone who was in need. And so here's the part of the story where they meet together after burying their father Jacob. So this is Genesis 50, and it's just a few verses there, and it says, after burying his father, Joseph went back to Egypt, and all of his brothers who had come with him to bury his father returned with him. After the funeral, Joseph's brothers talked among themselves. They said, well, what if Joseph is carrying a grudge and decides to pay us back for all the wrong we did him? So they went to Joseph, they sent him a message. Before his death, this message says, your father gave this command. Tell Joseph, forgive your brother's sin, all that wrongdoing. They did treat you very badly. Will you do it? Will you forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God? So even now, the brothers still aren't seeing it, right? They're trying to trick Joseph. They're trying to trick him into saying this is something that their dad wanted. It says, when Joseph received their message, he wept. Then the brothers went in person to him. They all got together. They threw themselves on the ground before him and said, we'll be your slaves. Joseph replied, don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see, you planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good, as you see all around you right now. Life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear, he says. I'll take care of you and your children. He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. It's this powerful line of forgiveness that Joseph has for his brothers. You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. How many of you have ever had something bad happen to you? Yeah. Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. How many of you, when that bad something happened to you, felt like you were the only person that bad things ever happened to? Sometimes, right? Yeah. Okay, you can put your hands down now. Thank you. You're welcome for the shoulder workout. Yeah, just that. Yeah, so did Joseph. Right? Joseph had bad things happen to him too. But even though Joseph, like other characters in the Bible, Joseph never got to talk directly to God like we hear his father Jacob do. But even though he never talked directly to God, he sensed God's presence each and every step of the way. But God was with him. Because he saw that even though people were mean to him, he was still able to help people. His brothers sold him into slavery, which on the scale of meanness is pretty mean. And yet even though that happened, he experienced God with him and guiding him in ways that could bring life for a whole country of people, for people who were in need. When we sang O Come, O Come, Emmanuel at the start of worship, this word Emmanuel is a word that means God with us. So when we sing that, it's asking for God to help us be aware of his presence. O come, Emmanuel. This reminder that God is indeed with us. And even though things might not always go the way we want, and sometimes people who are mean may seem like they are winning, the good news of this Advent and Christmas season and all the time after is that God is with us just like God was with Joseph through every up and every down, because that is who God is. That we can love God and we can love our neighbor exactly where we are, and that God loves us exactly where we are. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen.